It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
I'm going to give you five reasons why Sunday might be the very last UFL game ever played. Coming up this Sunday afternoon, the final game of the 2024 United Football League, the UFL, will be played. The UFL, in case you forgot, was the result of a merger between 2023's two money-losing spring football leagues called the USFL and the XFL. With 16 football franchises between those two leagues in 2023, half of them were eliminated in 2024 in order to cut costs. This Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. Central Time on Fox, the two-time USFL defending champion Birmingham Stallions are going to face off with the San Antonio Brahmas. And the Spring Pro Football Championship game is going to be played in St. Louis? Yep, St. Louis, which has been, so far, the lone shining star in this 8-team football league during 2024. The St. Louis Battlehawks were able to draw more than 30,000 fans to every one of their five regular season home games and then last week's semifinal game. The UFL management placed a bet early this season that the good people of St. Louis will show up in larger numbers than if the title game was to be played in the home city of the top-seeded finalist. We're going to find out this Sunday. Unlike the NFL Super Bowl, tickets are plentiful for Sunday afternoon's UFL Championship in St. Louis. A quick check today showed that the Loge and Upper Deck tickets were available for as low as $9. That's right. A 50-yard line seat for Sunday afternoon championship game in St. Louis can be purchased for about $85. Now, the attendance for the other seven UFL cities this year has been dreadful. Having won the USFL title in both of the last 2 years, I really did expect better fan support in Birmingham, Alabama, with this newly consolidated UFL this spring. But it just didn't happen. Birmingham, which is led by former Louisiana Tech head coach Skip Holtz, finished with a sterling 9-1 regular season record, but then averaged just a disappointing 10,208 paying customers for the regular season. And sure, temperatures in Birmingham last week were in the low 90s, with heat indices reaching the upper 90s. That's what we call June in Alabama. It's not exactly football weather in the South right now, unless the University of Alabama were to be playing an early season home football game right now, that is. The other finalist this weekend, San Antonio, did not fare much better in their UFL spring home football games either. The 7-3 Brahmas played their regular season games indoors at the air-conditioned and very spacious 65,000-seat Alamo Dome in San Antonio. The team, which is coached by Wade Phillips, you might remember, averaged just 11,868 fans for their five regular season home games. Last Sunday, San Antonio rolled into St. Louis for a semifinal game against the home team Battlehawks, and despite over 30,000 screaming fans pulling for the home team, the Brahmas won that game 25-15 and advanced to the UFL Championship game this Sunday. Ironically, San Antonio is now going to have to return to St. Louis for a second straight week and play for the title. Let's examine the 2024 UFL team's average attendance and network television ratings. The lack of interest being shown by football fans in seven of those eight UFL markets is really the biggest concern for this spring league's ownership group. If you remove St. Louis, which had over 33,000 per home game, the other seven UFL teams averaged only 9,741 fans per home game. Now that's lower than 130 of the 133 FBS major college football teams did last fall in 2023. Only Northern Illinois, Sam Houston, and Akron averaged fewer football fans than that last fall. It's not the facilities. It's not the marketing. The primary problem remains the lack of name players and the minor league feel to this game. If you're ready to crunch some numbers, let's go. As we've chronicled here in some previous posts about spring professional football, the expenses of operating these eight UFL teams, though infinitely lower than the NFL, is still not cheap. They have 42 players on the active roster. Each UFL team pays about $5,500 per week per player. And with a 10-game regular season schedule, that means over $2.3 million per team is going directly to player salaries alone. Now, for my estimating purposes, we need to also include coaches and team support staff. And that probably brings your total up to at least $3 million per team for all employee pay. Now, most businesses use a rule of thumb that about 50% of their expenses come from the cost of employees. Now, if that's the case here, and this might be the low side, that means that each UFL team is requiring about $6 million a year to cover their expenses. Now, let's don't forget there's also the cost of stadium leases, which I'm guessing is about $50,000 per home game. Charter jets for the road games, there's another $50,000 or $100,000 per game. And assorted other costs like equipment, insurance, security, game day staff, you name it. It's probably another $1 million a year added to those team expenses. With the personnel cost and these extra costs, I'm going to say the average cost per team is at least $7 million per team in expenses. Of course, we do have revenue coming in. Well, some.
No!
Regular season UFL game tickets were very cheap, cost about $20 to $40 per game. So let's call it $30 on average. And if you use those seven worst franchises averaging only about 10,000 fans per game, ticket revenues would be about $300,000 per home game. Now, let's generously add another $200,000 per home game and other profits from concessions and merchandising and maybe parking. So that would give you at max about $500,000 per home game in revenue with five games at home every year. The estimated revenue for each team would be about $2.5 million in 2024. $7 million in expenses, $2.5 million in revenue. The estimated net loss? $4.5 million per team times eight teams is a total of $36 million for the UFL. Oh wait, did we overlook those television revenues, you ask? In the case of spring football in general, and the UFL in particular, the television revenue answer is more likely, what TV revenues? You see, the cost of providing a network-quality football telecast is very expensive. Specialized trucks are needed to take the TV equipment and drive them to each of the game locations every week around the country. There's a staff of probably at least 100 or more professionals which must be paid to assemble and test and produce a high-quality on-air production. Now, whether for Fox Sports or ABC and ESPN, the two UFL primary television outlets, the cost of the UFL's four weekly television games is probably similar to the cost of providing a major college football broadcast in the fall. To pay for these expensive production costs for TV every week, the UFL likely agreed, I'm just guessing here, to a barter arrangement with each of the TV networks. Let me explain. That means that in lieu of paying them cash, the networks are permitted to sell the majority of commercials on the broadcast to offset the operational production cost. The UFL may have retained maybe a few commercial spots per game to sell, or more likely, just gave it back to the network and said, hey, you sell the spots and give us a share of the revenues. Now, also, your local television or cable affiliate also retains a few minutes of local commercial time per hour to earn local revenue during those games, assuming they too can sell the spots. Here's a good way to know whether things are going well. When you see a bunch of promos or public service announcements during the commercial break for a televised sporting event, that means that the commercial spot likely went unsold. In other words, the revenue being derived by the UFL from television advertising revenue was likely very minimal in 2024. So here's your verdict. Despite what you may be hearing from the media right now, this first year of UFL spring football in 2024 may be its last. Let me give you reasons why. Number one, seven of the eight UFL cities seriously underperformed at the gate. And the only reason St. Louis has been such a success this year is that that city is trying to woo an NFL team to return. Good luck with that, St. Louis. The other seven teams cannot all be relocated next year either. There's now a trail of dead bodies of former spring football franchises, and it's growing. In the past 3 years alone, we've seen teams leave New Jersey, Orlando, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Las Vegas, and Tampa Bay. They've come and they've gone in the last 3 years. Number two, the UFL's on-field talent remains a noticeable step below NFL quality. In my opinion, the league would have really benefited if trades were permitted prior to the season starting to put a higher number of regionally known college football players onto the rosters of any UFL team where the local fans would have a connection with them already. But they didn't do it. Number three, 3 years ago, the USFL owners, that was Fox Sports, stated that the league needed to draw about 1.2 million viewers per game for them to consider it a success. 3 years later, in 2024, despite playing two games apiece on Saturday and Sundays during an afternoon and evening window on Fox and ABC ESPN, the UFL averaged just more than 800,000 viewers per game. You just can't force people to watch a product which they don't find compelling.
Yes!
Reason number four, the financial losses continue to mount. Though never confirmed publicly last year, the XFL and USFL agreed to merge after the 2023 season, primarily to stem the tide of massive financial losses. The XFL lost a reported $60 million or more just last year in 2023 alone. The USFL, they spent more than $100 million in 2022 just to launch their league. Why should the UFL owners keep doing this same thing and expect to get a different result next year? How long are those owners willing to lose tens of millions of dollars each and every year? And number five, most importantly, no, the NFL is not going to come to the rescue. They understand that less is best. The NFL completely dominates television every fall. If the NFL were to become a partner and make the UFL a spring development football league, spring football might have a chance to grow. But the NFL really likes their niche in the fall. They've watched as three straight seasons of a decent spring pro football product have failed in the stands and on network television. The market simply does not want live football for an extra 3 months every spring. Unfortunately, most fans will not miss the UFL should it be gone from the schedule next spring. In summary, enjoy the UFL's spring football season finale this Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. on Fox, because it might just be the last spring football game that you and I will see for a long, long time to come. I'm Swamp Swami.
Happy Spring!